Today, our question is, why is Christianity more than just another religion? And as is my wont, I'm going to tell you why I think that's the case. And then when we have coffee, you can talk about it then if you want. Today is the most important of all Christian festivals, Easter Sunday. And I think this question is particularly relevant today because there is a huge difference between Christianity and every other religion on earth. Jesus is alive. Thank you, Bill. That's very good. And I want to tell you this morning, I will forgive you if you get slightly excited by this. Because Jesus is alive. Amen. And I have some other news for you. Muhammad is dead. Buddha is dead. L. Ron Hubbard, founder of Scientology, he's dead. Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, he's dead. Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science, which is hardly Christian, is dead. Krishna is dead. In fact, all the leaders of all the world religions are dead except Jesus, who is alive. Thank you, all three of you. He does. Now, I have to say to you, this is not just a religious thing we're saying to you today. There is support for the truth of the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead and was seen by individuals, by dozens of people at a time, or by at least 500 people at one occasion. Jewish historian Josephus, who was hardly Christian and hardly a supporter of the church, wrote in his Antiquities of the Jews, "Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ." That's the Greek word that means Messiah, if you're Jewish, and it simply means God's anointed one. "And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal man amongst us, had condemned him to the cross, those who loved him at the first did not forsake him, but for he appeared to them alive again on the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold these and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him. And the tribe of Christians, so named for him, are not extinct at this day." No, in fact, there's 2.3 billion of us, and the church is growing year after year, even in England. When I was around in 1980, there were 2% of people in church on a Sunday. 2%. There are now 10% in England in church on a Sunday. The church is growing. I appreciate that the Anglican church isn't growing. I appreciate the Methodist church isn't growing. I appreciate there are a number of churches that are not. But please understand this. There are lots of churches that are experiencing growth. And growth is happening all over Europe. And Europe was the last continent on earth to experience the current wave of church growth. A professor of modern history at Oxford University, Thomas Arnold, said, "I have been used for many years to studying the histories of other times and to examining them and weighing the evidence of those who have written about them. And I know of no one fact in the history of mankind which is proved by better and fuller evidence of every sort to the understanding of a fair inquirer than the great sign which God has given us that Christ died and rose again." The truth is that Tacitus, whose writings there are two fragmentary copies that have remained, are not questioned by anyone. No one questions that, but the hundreds of thousands of fragments and full copies of the New Testament have suffered questions by many over the years because they don't like the teaching. Lord Darling, who was a principal judge in this country for many years, he said, in its favour as living truth, there exists such overwhelming evidence, positive and negative, factual and circumstantial, that no intelligent jury in the world could fail to bring in a verdict that the resurrection story is true. This is a man whose word has always been consulted in this country and has had a massive impact on our lawmaking. The fact is that there is also evidence in the New Testament. The New Testament, that half of the Bible that was written from just after the death of Jesus over the next 50 years or so, there are over 25,000 ancient copies of sections of the New Testament, including full manuscripts that go back to within the first 100 years, as well as 36,000 quotes in the writings of other Christians. Comparing this with other books that we accept as historical, Caesar's Gallic War had only 9 or 10 copies in existence. Livy's Roman History, less than 20. I mentioned Tacitus, 2 copies. And yet, they are not questioned at all by scholars. When it comes to the New Testament, it is also clear that the earliest copies say very much the same as copies 1,000 years older, as do our modern English translations. They have not been altered over the years. But people say, you're saying Jesus rose from the dead. What if his body was stolen? Now, can I just point out to you that that's an idea that was put in the Bible? It's the Bible that asks this question. Don't think that that's a modern atheistic mindset that's asking it. The Bible itself asks this question. Some say he didn't die. Some say that the disciples stole the body, or even that the authorities stole the body. But have you watched Mel Gibson's The Passion? This is a movie that struggled to actually get a certificate to be shown in cinemas, to get the 18 certificate that it carries, because it was so brutal. And how horrific a torture did Jesus go through before he was pierced with nails and hung on a cross and then skewered on a spear? How did Jesus live through that? Well, the simple answer is he didn't. He died. He died all right. He didn't swoon. He didn't pass out. He didn't faint with exhaustion. And he certainly could not, 3 days later, have pushed a 1.5-ton rock out of the way to get out of his tomb. If the disciples knew where the body was, surely when they were being tortured for their faith, they would have given up and told. If the authorities had done it, then when Christianity was growing alarmingly and they were trying to clamp down, they would have produced the bones. Who was going to overpower, anyway, the Roman guard, the most disciplined and well-trained army in the world, and then run off with his body? Christians may be trusting, but please don't think we are stupid. Millions of Christians are still persecuted and tortured for their faith. In fact, 20 million of us, I'll just repeat that, 20 million of us have died since the start of the 20th century because of our faith. 100 yesterday in Sri Lanka in a church that was bombed. This is a reality of our life. And our Prime Minister, Mrs. May, in her Easter message, politics aside, has written saying we must stand with Christians all over the world who are being persecuted for their faith. And in fact, the guy that everyone likes to hate, the guy who is now Foreign Secretary, who used to be Health Secretary, he has written to 14 major Christian leaders this week to say to them, keep standing and helping those who are standing with the persecuted church, because we are with you. And he is approaching a whole series of governments as the British government to say, please protect Christians. And the letter I read was the one he'd sent to Brother Andrew from Brother Andrew's organisation that I've just... Thank you, Open Doors. How do I know Jesus is alive? Well, I could just say to you, he's alive and the tomb is empty because my heart is full. Sounds a bit poetic, doesn't it? But he was most certainly alive when I talked to him earlier this morning. If something has happened since then, please tell me. I need to know. You might say then, prove to me that he is alive. My answer to that is that I already had to prove it to me, and you are the only one who can prove it to you. The only proof you will ever accept is your own proof. If I introduce, if Jesus came through that door now, and I introduced him to you in his living body, you still might not believe. You'd probably say it's a put-up job. It's somebody wearing makeup. Hollywood's involved. You see, you have to get to know the living Jesus yourself. Christians aren't born that way, you know. Do you like this picture? It's good, isn't it? My wife says it's one of my best pictures, so I thought I'd share it with you. Christians are not born that way. Can you imagine it? Oh, Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely boy. Or Mrs. Brown, oh, you've had a Christian. It doesn't work like that. We aren't born Christians. You aren't a Christian because you're born in a Christian country. Goodness knows what this country is. I mean, people, when they want to gain political points, will say this is a Christian country, but I'm really not quite sure. 10% of us are Christian. Our history is Christian. But the reality is that we have to choose to follow Jesus like everyone else. I came from a non-Christian family. I had to choose to go to church. I found my own way. And it was there in church that I decided to follow Jesus. On the 21st of April, 1968, 51 years ago today, that man decided to believe. That man chose to believe in the resurrection. I chose to believe that Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified on a cross outside Jerusalem roughly 2,000 years ago, that he got up because the grave could not hold him down. I chose to believe that, and in doing so, I became a Christian. And my walk has been these 51 years. I feel a little bit like Jacob leaning on his staff in front of Pharaoh and saying, the days of my pilgrimage have been 51 years. The truth is, I have had a pilgrimage with 51 years, not because I come to church to tick boxes to do religious things. Stuff religion. I have no interest in it. I come to church because I relate, that man on the screen, he relates to Jesus of Nazareth, a living, breathing being who, after 40 days or so, ascended to the Father, and hundreds of people watched him go up. And then the church mushroomed. What had been a few hundred people who were close followers became thousands of people who became close followers. And then it became hundreds of thousands. And the reality is the church took off like a spark on a bushfire. And we've had one of those in the Yorkshire Dales last night, yesterday. Did you see that? We've had a big bushfire. Well, there were small bushes, but it was a big fire. The reality is that Jesus is alive. Lots of people have seen him. Lots of people have known him. I can only speak from my own experience. I have been bullied for my faith. I've been discriminated against in the workplace for my faith. I have suffered, I don't mean this workplace, by the way. I have suffered pain and suffered loss, but Jesus has never left my side. He is what the Bible calls a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And in many ways, my life has been good so far. Thanks be to God for a good wife. She's left the room. I've had a good education. I went to university to study physics and ended up with a master's degree in theology. Don't ask me how that happened. I am not stupid, but I am committed to my Jesus, like I am committed to my wife, who is also committed to my Jesus. What is different about Christianity from other religions? Well, the truth is, it isn't strictly a religion in the first place. It's a relationship. People can go to church and try to do good, but Christians are those who have a personal relationship with the risen Jesus. That's why Easter is so special to us. If the only reason I was here today was to follow a religion, then I'd be off somewhere else doing something more fulfilling, and I do mean that. But today, I am in right standing before God because Jesus has given me that. Christians understand the fundamental truth of the resurrection and that without it we are nothing. No living Jesus, no Christianity. You certainly wouldn't have a Stephen Redman stood here. This scripture is from the first epistle to the Corinthians and it says, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is without foundation. So what I'm saying to you is rubbish, basically. And so is your faith. In addition, we are found to be false witnesses about God." We're liars, Paul is saying, if this isn't true. "Because we have testified about God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins." You know, you can say, "Oh, but Jesus was a very nice man." Do you know, if Jesus wasn't the Son of God who died and rose again, he wasn't nice at all. Because what he was doing is he was setting up his followers for years to be persecuted and murdered and butchered for their faith. That is not the behaviour of a nice man. "Therefore, those who have fallen asleep in Christ will also have perished." Fallen asleep is a euphemism for died. So Paul is saying, all the dead have got nothing to look forward to if Jesus is not risen. If we have placed our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. Paul understood the arguments. Do you know, these arguments about the resurrection are not modern arguments. They go back to the very time of the very incident. People in those days were not thick. I'm sorry for the use of the word thick. It's a technical term. It means to be of sub-intelligence. But they weren't. They understood these things. And Paul certainly did. And Paul raised this issue to the people that he was speaking to. Because he goes on to say that Christ indeed is risen. Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. Why was Jesus raised from the dead? Well, the truth is that if he wasn't, the whole kit and caboodle was a load of rubbish. It was another religion. But because he was raised from the dead, he is able to give us new life. And that is a promise for people that call on the name of Jesus. Knowing the risen Jesus is what Christianity is about. And if you don't know him, please take my advice. Take a step in his direction today. Jesus walked out the tomb so you could walk into life with God. There is no other religion that offers you a living relationship with the Creator. The joy of Christmas is a warm, romantic, fuzzy feeling when we are all a little warmed in the cold days of winter by the thoughts of God reaching out to us in the manger. But the truth of Easter is that we are offered a once-only invitation to life with Jesus. And there is only one way to receive. People say that Christianity is an exclusive religion. Actually, they've got it backwards. Christianity is the most inclusive religion because we welcome everyone. Everyone is welcome to the church. Everyone can be saved. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be clever. You don't have to be from an upper class. You don't have to be from the right side of the track. You just have to call on the name of Jesus. And then all of us have a common salvation. Salvation, being made safe, being received into God's family, if you like. It's straightforward. It's easy. It's too easy for some people who want a more complicated thing. Like the man I told you about the other week who had a dream that an eagle was pecking at his liver. Well, if that's the sort of complicated religion you want, fine, but I'd rather keep my liver to myself, thank you. But there is salvation in no one else. We can only come to the living Christ because the rest of them are stone dead. So why is Christianity more than just another religion? Because Jesus is alive. Because we serve a risen Saviour, in the words of a popular Easter song. Because Jesus is alive. Because a man got out of a tomb after being dead for 3 days and walked free and showed everyone his new life. And he still meets people now. The Bible tells us he met Paul a couple of years later on the Damascus Road. He met me 51 years ago today. When did he meet you? Has he met you? You can meet him today. You know, above anything else, why don't you try praying? There is a little booklet at the back on that little table called Try Praying. It's ever so simple. You take it away. You don't let anyone else see it. You can do this privately. You don't have to embarrass yourself. It just suggests to you how you might pray every day for a week. And then at the end of the week, it discusses with you if there's anything come of it. And it's very straightforward, actually. It's remarkably open and honest. But, you know, if you try praying to the risen Saviour, you too can have a faith like mine. Some people say to me, the first time they said it to me, I felt very hurt by it. They said to me, it's all right for you. But you know what? They were right. It is all right for me. And it will be all right for you too if you choose as I've chosen. There's nothing about me that makes it right for me. It's my choice that's made it right. I have chosen to follow the Saviour. Would you be gracious with me and just pray with me just for a moment? Father God, we call out on the name of Jesus. We ask you today if you might reveal yourself to each one of us, that we might all know that you are there and that you love us and that you want to receive us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.